A thought occurred to me this morning of how wonderful it was to be still in bed with a blanket on. Any of y'all have that feeling this morning? And then I thought, Kendra laughed because she was already out of bed. And then I thought, you know, it's not only wonderful to have this blanket, but also to have heat. And I thought, it's nice and warm. And I knew, of course, that it was freezing outside. But I thought about that. And I remembered that it wasn't just the blanket and it wasn't just the heater, but it was also good to have a floor and a ceiling and walls and doors and windows and insulation. But it wasn't just them. You see, it was the screws and it was the boards and it was the concrete and the blocks. Each nail made a difference, didn't it? And the caulk and the all of it together. And it's the same way with the church, isn't it? You see, all of it has to work together. None of it is as effective alone. We must work together in harmony, in unison, in symphony, whichever word you want to use. But God brought us all together to fulfill His purpose. Now, I wouldn't necessarily need all the nails and the screws and the boards and the air conditioning on the other side of the house. But it all comes together to work for those that were over there. Guys, we've got different purposes. We've got different assignments. But the nail's got to do its job, and the screw's got to do its job, and the insulation's got to do its job, and the switches and the electricity. I don't want to leave Brother Junior out. Electricity and the heat, and all of it's got to work together. So guys, don't think that you're insignificant in your function, in your purpose in the church. Brother Henry and Sister Sonia were up here working. I appreciate so much. They got the plumbing fixed back there in the middle building and turned it off this morning just in case. but they got all the plumbing fixed. But as they were walking through, they noticed that there was just one board, she told me. There's one board missing, and it's allowing cold air to blow in to the building. And so just that one board, all the other stuff we have in place is keeping us nice and warm and cozy right here. Almost you could go to sleep in here, couldn't you? But in that place, there's one board that may have seemed insignificant, but because it's gone, it's making a negative impact on our building. Guys, everybody's got to do their part. I've got to do mine, you got to do yours. We all have to work in God's harmony to accomplish His purpose. That's it. When we get away from the church, that makes a difference. Got to connect it back again. Esther 4, did you find it in your Bible? Amen. I maybe should have waited to describe warm blankets. Stegg says when he got baptized last week, he lost maybe his glasses and a cross on a red piece of yarn. So if you run across something like that, it belongs to Brother Stegg. Esther 4, God, guide us through your word in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me just tell you that the Jews had been exiled to Babylon. Of course, we know that the Hebrew people, the Jewish people, live or have been given the land of Israel. But after some time of rebellion and revival and rebellion and revival, God says, all right, I'm going to tell you what I'll do. I'm going to move you out of this place where you'll appreciate what you've lost. And once you've lost it, maybe you'll love it. And once you have been removed because of your sin, maybe you'll realize that living righteously is favorable, is preferred. And so the Jews had been exiled to Babylon. And after 70 years, just as the prophet Jeremiah had told them, after 70 years, some of them went back. But not all of them did. Because when Jeremiah preached and said you'll be exiled for 70 years, he said when you get there, don't start planning your return. Go ahead and build your house and build your business and build your life because you're going to be there 70 years. It'll be the next generation that's given an opportunity to return. And of course, after they did. They built their lives And then after 70 years, some of them went back to Israel where they rebuilt the city of Jerusalem. They rebuilt the temple, documented in Ezra and Nehemiah. But some Jews stayed. They said, look, we got a house here, we got a business here, we got our family here, we got friends here, we're established. Why would we want to go back when we're living just as well here? And so they stayed. And then there was a king that rose, and he had a conflict with his wife, so he decided he needed a new wife. And guys will do that from time to time. That's a bad idea. But anyway, guess what he did? He went out and found one. And guess what he found? He found him a nice little Jewish girl and made her queen. And this is, y'all that know the story, you're saying, boy, you're skipping a lot. No, that's the story. Just skipping the details. And so he marries, Esther becomes the queen. And her cousin, Mordecai, refused to bow down to a politician. Any of y'all ever feel that way? But this politician required that when he walked by, everybody has to bow, or, you know, kiss the ring, that kind of an attitude. Ego, narcissist. He just loved himself so much, and he was so proud and egotistical that everybody had to bow before him. But when he would walk into the king's house, he would walk by, through the king's gate, there would be Mordecai, the cousin of the queen. They didn't understand. Not everybody knew that situation. Not that it was a secret, just they didn't know. And Haman would walk by and Mordecai wouldn't bow. And man, that aggravated him. So finally Haman figures out this guy's a Jew. And you know there's a bunch of Jews, not only here, but all through the empire. And you know what we're going to do is rather than showing everybody how petty that I am, I'm just going to say let's kill all the Jews. And by doing that, we'll kill him too. And he said, I got this plan. And we'll say, you know, they don't honor the king and they don't follow the law the way they should. And we'll make it look bad for all of them. And we're going to destroy all this race to get one guy. You know, that's what rage will do. God, when we don't have control of our emotions, our anger, our jealousy, our ego, we destroy way more than what's getting at us. We have got to have control over ourselves. But Haman didn't. Haman thought he had a great plan. And so he went to the king. The king signed the order, demands that it be posted throughout the kingdom. It's posted, you know, on all the posts around. And as the Jews begin to realize that they're going to be exterminated, they get their sackcloth and their ashes, and they begin to fast and to pray. By the way, Book of Esther, the only book in the Bible that does not even mention God, but it mentions fasting. And so we see their faith toward God. And they put on their sackcloth, their ashes, they're weeping. Oh, they're going to destroy us. They're going to kill us. And they just go into mourning. Mordecai, remember, queen's cousin, puts on his sackcloth and he goes to the king's gate. You're not allowed to go in the king's court or the king's house with sackcloth. You can't go in there showing your mourning. Now, we don't want any sorrow here, only happiness. And so don't display mourning or sorrow around the king. So Mordecai puts on his sackcloth and he goes to the king's gate. That brings us to chapter 4. Y'all thought I wasn't going to read, didn't you? Mordecai perceived all that was done. Mordecai rent his clothes. He put on sackcloth with ashes. He went out in the midst of the city and cried with a loud and bitter cry. Came even before the king's gate. None might enter into the king's gate clothed with sackcloth. And in every province whithersoever the king's commandment and his decree came, there was great mourning among the Jews, and fasting, and weeping and wailing. And many lay in sackcloth and ashes. And Queen Esther looks out from her window and she sees her cousin Mordecai dressed in sackcloth and ashes. And she calls one of her maids, one of her chamber workers, and says, give him some clothes to put on. I don't want my cousin out there dressed like that. He has now what? By wearing the sackcloth and ashes. He has aligned himself with a certain political stream in their day. You understand that's what's happened here. He has identified himself with the people of God who are now outside of society and will be executed. And Esther is horrified that he's identified himself with the Jews. And she says, change out of your sackcloth. Don't show everybody who you are and what you believe. Now, doesn't that sound familiar? Esther has gotten so comfortable in her new life that she's decided that she doesn't want herself or her cousin associated with the life they came from or the people they're recognized with. She wants to isolate themselves from that group of people. And what would that do? Well, maybe that would protect them. Maybe they wouldn't be exterminated along with the rest of the Jews. In her mind, maybe that was the answer. But what did Mordecai say? Mordecai says, I'll be identified with God's people. I'll be identified with their weeping. It says in verse number 7, Mordecai told him of all that had happened unto him. And the sum of money that Haman had promised to pay to the king's treasuries for the Jews to destroy them. He gave him a copy of the decree that was given at Shushan to destroy them. Show it to Esther. Declare it unto her and to charge her. She should go in unto the king to make supplication to him and to make request before him for her people. Mordecai says, look, you're in the greatest position. You've got a great opportunity. You can make a difference. How many of us, and you don't have to raise your hand on this, but how many of us can look back in our lives and say, I was in a position to make a difference? Or maybe look at ourselves today and say, I was in a position or I am in a position to make a difference. And Mordecai says, don't lose this opportunity. Don't miss this. You're in the best position. You're the one who can do the most. You need to go talk to the king. And so they bring the letter to the queen, and the queen reads the letter, and the queen considers her options. And she says, I can't go see the king. Yeah, I'm the queen, but the rules are you don't go see the king unless the king wants you. And the king hasn't asked for me to come there. And if he doesn't ask for me to come there and I show up, I could be executed. I could be killed. You realize what you're asking me to do, cousin? You're asking me to put my life on the line for this. He sends a word back and says, your life's already on the line. Because you're a Jew. You're one of us. Maybe the politicians, maybe the government, maybe the king, maybe Haman hasn't picked up on that yet. But you are in this number of people that are ordered to be killed. So you're already on the line. Guys, we look at our lives and we have to see, maybe, again, we talked about all the elements of a structure. And sometimes we enjoy the heat, but we have to remember the heat's not working by itself. A lot of different parts and pieces that are contributing to our warmth. And when it comes to doing the right thing and being in the right place, we are all in a position to make a difference. Not all in the same way, but we can all make a difference. God has put us all in a position. I appreciate Sister Claretta so much for sharing her testimony. That took a lot of courage to stand up and say, I was grieving and I needed help. And I found it. And hey, let me show you where I found it, because if you need help, they'll help you too. Guys, that's the gospel in simplicity. I was a beggar needing bread and found the bread of Christ. And the church's job is to make sure that that bread is not on the top shelf where people can't reach it, but down at everybody's level where they can get some bread if they need it. Our job is to make the gospel available. We're all in a position to make a difference. Mordecai says, your life's already on the line. How many of you realize that there are only two documented persons who have ever gotten out of this life alive? One was Enoch, and one was Elijah. Jesus ascended in the same manner, But he died and rose again. So he died. Only Enoch and Elijah were caught up by God without dying on earth. So far, and you can check the CDC and see if I'm right on this, there is a 100% chance that you're going to die to get out of this life. You say, Pastor, what about the rapture? That's the only other option. But so far, that hasn't happened, and we have no guarantees. The point is this. This life is not going to last forever. Why are we trying to preserve it by not doing what God's called us to do? God says, share the gospel. Well, I'm afraid. What are you afraid of? Has anybody been killed in America for sharing the gospel that you know of? Now, you want to talk about China or North Korea or Africa, Saudi Arabia, places like that where you can't say Jesus or definitely they'll take your head. But here, guys, we have a privilege, an opportunity to share the gospel, to talk about our Savior, to sing of His love for us, to share the joy of our salvation. We've got nothing to lose. Even if we die, we were going to eventually anyway. But so far, that's not even a threat. Guys, we ought to be sharing the gospel. You can make a difference. How can we make a difference? The number one thing that everybody needs is Jesus. We need Jesus more than we need oxygen, because when the oxygen runs out, being saved is going to matter a whole bunch. We need Jesus. They need Jesus. Share the gospel. So what does Esther say? Esther says, verse 16, gather all the Jews that are present in Shushan and fast ye for me. Neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. I also and my handmaidens will fast likewise. So will I go in unto the king, which is not according to the law. I'll break the law. I'll break the rules for Jesus, for God, for my people, for my purpose. And I know that we wouldn't want to read this text without going up to verse 14 and seeing what Mordecai said. He said, who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? You are where you are on purpose. We think about in the Bible, boy, wouldn't it have been great to live when Jesus was walking on the earth? Hey, man, that would have been wonderful to walk with Jesus as long as we could come home to our lazy boys in our air conditioning, right? As long as we could go into our refrigerator and take out ice cream or, you know, at 10 o'clock at night. Or 10 in the morning, whenever we want it. And without vehicles, without transportation like airplanes and such as that. Guys, what a privilege that God put us here now. Not only because of the luxuries and the medical advances that we have experienced, but how about this? We may be here for that time when He comes back. We may be here for that. We may not go by way of the grave. This is our time. We cannot expect the ministers of the past or the ministers of the future to do what God has called us to do today. I'm thankful for those who foresaw a need here in this part of Tallahassee and established a church plant and stuck with it and pioneered and kept it going. And so we could be here today. But that was their work. Now it's our turn. Now it's our work. We don't have to build it. It's already here. Now all we have to focus on, and what they also focused on, is getting people saved. Bringing people to God. But let me say this. We can't get people to God until we're there ourselves. So if you're here this morning and you've not trusted Christ as your Savior, now's your chance. Now's your opportunity to pray from your heart to God's heart and say, God, I know I'm a sinner. And I know Jesus died for my sin. And I ask your forgiveness. I put my trust in you. And I ask you to save my soul. God, I've seen what I could do with my life, but now I surrender and I want to see, what will you do with my life? Would you give your life to God this morning? You see, Esther knew she was going to die eventually. She had to be reminded. Her cousin said, look, you're not getting out alive either way. So why not make your life mean something? Why not make it count? You see, one day I'm going to stand before God. So are you. We're going to stand before God and give an account of what we've been given. Stewards. The opportunities we had to share Christ, did we? The opportunities we had to be loving and kind and charitable and giving, were we? Or were we selfish? Were we withdrawn? Were we afraid to do what God called us to do? Esther's here and she says, I might die if I perish, I perish. She said, I'm going all in. It might cost me everything. But if I die, I die. When we adopt that mentality and say, God, I'm going to live for you. If I lose friends, if I lose family, if I lose my job, if I lose, worldly opportunities, I'm going to live for you no matter what. I'm going all in. And if I perish, I perish. The reality is that's not very realistic here, is it? I can't imagine, I know on some isolated incidents, so think of that student in Colorado where the other student said, do you believe in Jesus? She said, I do, and he killed her. It's rare, though. Probably not going to happen to us. I'm not talking about that situation. But we have to decide now if we're going to live for Jesus and walk with Jesus or if our life's going to matter for anything. Let's stand. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to go into your word today and to look at the life of Esther. And we know the story is much bigger than the brief part that we've looked at this morning. God, may we never have the ego and the jealousy and the hatred of Haman. May we always be faithful like Mordecai. And may we find ourselves with an opportunity to make a difference and realize that it's for such a time as this that we're brought here. And say we're going all in, no matter the outcome, we are doing our part. God, we love you. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you for all that you've done. And pray that you will guide us in these moments, that when we leave this place, we'll leave having settled up and made things right. In Jesus' name, amen. This is your opportunity to come. If you want to come and kneel at the altar, you want me to pray with you, I'll be glad to. You can pray where you are. God speaking to your heart this morning, giving you a burden, showing you a need. This is your opportunity. Someone else, this is your opportunity. Why me? Because God's put you in this unique position. There are things you can do that no one else can do. People you can reach, and only you. Amen. Appreciate you being here this morning. Anything else before we're dismissed? Amen. Glad you came. You say, well, it's not warm enough in here. When you take a step outside, you'll probably come back in. Praise God. I don't know why people live where there's snow. I just don't understand that. I mean, I see snow like 6 feet deep and they can't get out of their houses. I guess it's a good excuse to stay home. Anyway, let's go to the Lord in dismissal prayer. Be back tonight at 6, Wednesday night at 7. Pray for one another. There's lots of needs. There's lots of needs. And look forward to seeing you again, praying with you together. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Would you dismiss us, Brother Andy?